Good morning, everyone, and I speak peace to our nation, peace to the streets of our nation. Peace, 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 peace. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you, Father, for the apostles of this house and the leadership. I thank you, Lord, for the word that will go forth and it will penetrate to the deepest of our hearts and our lives, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I thank you, Father. Well, this morning I would like to read this, and it just sets a platform for my message. It's called Wooed by the Handsome Man. And the author is talking about God. He's talking about a relationship that we need to have with the Father. And he goes on to say, when was the last time that you went out on a date? He's asking this question, the author is. I'm not talking about simply meeting up with someone new. I speak of going all out, getting the stage for an experience with the one you love, creating a moment they will never forget. I don't ask in order to foster feelings of embarrassment for those who haven't dated in some time. And neither am I asking to further vent feelings of accomplishment for those who have. My question highlights the reason behind dating. Though our society has changed what means to date someone, the impetus behind dating and courting an individual is to woo them. Impetus means the force or energy in which a body moves. In other words, he's talking about the energy we spend on an individual, on a relationship, on a marriage. And he goes on to say, when viewed in that light, the wooer calls out the one he or she is pursuing, the one he or she wants to love, and to whom he or she wishes to show him or herself. Remember the value we discovered in being alone and how the master delivered Israel out of the hands of the oppressors. From there, Israel goes directly into the wilderness, and God's design for them was that they worship him and come into a relationship with him. That is God's plan for us. When we accept the Lord in our hearts and in our lives, that's what he wants, is for us to worship him and to spend quantity time with him. From there is, and then he goes on to say, God's design was for the Israelites to worship him and come into a relationship with him. God did this with his mighty arm and then showed even more of himself to them. He fed them bread and quail directly from his table while giving them water from his rock. Can you imagine that? Not having to go to the grocery store, but having that food there, that water there, that provision there. All effectively treating his people to a five-star dinner. All of this happened as he cooled Israel during the day with his cloud that guided them and his romantic fire that warmed them at night. God dated Israel in the wilderness, showing them a scant amount of his capabilities in loving them every day. Isn't that what we do when we love somebody? We just go all out. We just, God gave them specifications of the setting in which he would meet them. In other words, God explained to them and gave them direction. He gave them exact ways in which to worship him, exact ways in which to spend time with him. And he does the same for us. We just have to spend time with him. We have to go to the scripture and search out the word. And if you don't quite understand where to go, ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Ask for wisdom. The Bible says that we have not because we haven't asked. So when we ask, God gives us that what we need. If we need wisdom, he gives it to us. In contrast to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the one-time act by which God places believers into his body, the filling is a repeated reality of spirit-controlled behavior that commands believers to maintain. In other words, when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are to maintain that. And how we do it is by spending time with the Lord, by prayer and communication. And that's how our relationships with one another grow, is when we spend time with them, when we talk to them, when we listen to them, when they listen to us, when we love them, when we feed them, when we encourage them, when we just spend quantity time with them. And God doesn't only want to hear us talking. He wants us to spend time with him so that we can listen to direction. Peter and many others in Acts 2 were filled with the Spirit again. And so he spoke boldly the word of God. So when we need to speak boldly the word of God, then we need to study it. We need to spend time in it to know specifics, to know what we're to say. That scripture is found in Ephesians 5:19-33. And so I have some other scriptures if you want to write them down, or if you've got a great memory that you can remember the scriptures. The Holy Spirit is in Isaiah 48:16, he creates and gives life. He creates and gives life. So when we are, as women are expecting children, he is creating within us life. In Acts 8:29, he directs. So when we don't have direction, we ask God for direction, and he directs us. He directs our steps, the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 2:13, he instructs. So when we go to scripture and we need instruction for something, I know it's happened to me many times where I'll go to the Lord and I'll say, I need you to help me in this because I can't do it by myself. And he graces me to do something. He graces me to go out and speak to someone. And it doesn't necessarily have to be scripture or try to get them to understand the Bible if they don't. I've been with Pastor Leonard a lot of times at courtside and prayer, and we'll just approach people and say, would you like prayer? And some will say no, and some will say yes. So if we need instruction for that, we ask the Holy Spirit to instruct us. If we need instruction as to how to raise our family, God gives us that instruction. John 16:8 says he reproves like good parents. God reproves. He corrects. And sometimes it's a little painful, but as believers, in order for us to grow and mature and not always drink the milk, but start eating the steak, the whole food of the scripture and what God has for us, then he needs to correct our wrongs and he shapes our character. In Acts 9:31, it says, he comforts us when we're going through something and we don't know what to do. Sometimes our quick reaction is to pick up the phone and call somebody. And when we do that, we place God second. Call the Father. Pick up the phone and call the Father and ask him. Ask him to comfort you because you can't do this by yourself, or you're feeling ill, or you're in a new relationship that you don't have an answer to a question. God will comfort you and give you that answer. And he will help you to how to speak to your friends or how to speak to those you work with. In Romans 8:26, he helps us in our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. There's a lot of things in our lives that when we come to the Lord, we carry all those things with us. And God helps us. He helps us. And he shows us. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes we just cry because we can't hardly understand. Okay, God, I thought I took care of this. And God says, no, you got to go back. You got to do it again because this you have to take care of. And he helps us. He's a gentleman. He's very gentle. And John 14:26 says, he teaches us. He will teach you when you spend time in his word and when you spend time in prayer. When you spend time with mature Christians that will pull you in and help you grow and mature. And like a two-year-old, I've been spending some time with a two-year-old, and I get down on the floor with her and I play and I sit on the floor and we play with blocks and she just loves it. And we laugh, she laughs, she's got this laughter that is so contagious, and it's awesome. Just like God teaches, that's how God teaches us. You know, he gets down with us. He gets to our wherever we're at in life. He gets down and he teaches us what we need to learn. And then in John 16:13, he says he guides us. Sometimes we go right when we should be going right in the center. I've heard this from Reverend Vanilla. I love her so much. She always says, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. And God will tell us the same thing. He will guide us, but he will tell us to stay in our own lane. Don't worry about this person, what they're doing. Don't worry about what they're saying. Don't worry about that. I will guide you. You know, don't be confused with the things in the world. But I will guide you. I will take you by the hand like I take my granddaughter. And I guide her into the good places. I guide her to learn different things, to sing, to worship, to wash her hands. We all need to wash our hands right now. So, and then it says, I love this in Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. So God is watching us. God is watching every one of us. And so he will take us and guide us like we guide our children, our babies. We guide them. in a good way, in a positive way, in an encouraging way. And then Romans 11:33 says, he searches all things. All things he searches. David in Psalms 39:1, David is having a conversation with God and saying, you searched me. In other words, his relationship with God was so close that he knew that God was searching his heart. And that's what God sees. God sees our hearts. And where our hearts is where our thoughts are. God sees all of that. And he searches us. And he guides us with his eye. He guides us with his eyes. Like we use the GPS nowadays to find different places. That's how God, well, he does it better because he does it with his eyes. So John 14:17 says, he dwells with the believers. He dwells within us. When we accept him, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he is within us. So we don't have to call him in every time we come together because he's already here. When we come to church, we bring him with us. We bring him with us. When we go to the grocery store, we take him with us. When we go to work, we take him with us. So we are to be an example to those outside of these four walls because God is with us. The Holy Spirit is within us. Isaiah 11:2 says, he is holy. He is the Holy Spirit of counsel. When we need a counselor, we run to God. He counsels us. He'll give us where to go in Scripture or what places to go in Scripture that will help us, that will encourage us, that will counsel us, that will say, you're great. You're doing a great job. Keep spending time with me because I love you so much. You are my greatest gift. Each and every one of us are God's greatest gifts. Matthew 10:20 says, he is our Father. Sometimes we look around in this generation and there's a lot of either mothers raising their children by themselves or fathers raising children by themselves. And when we run to God, he is our Father. I had a really close relationship with my dad. And when he passed away, it was like a part of me was gone. But God, in his love and in his mercy, wrapped me with his loving arms and said, come here. I will love you. I'm your father. I was your father before your earthly father. And so I found comfort in that, although I miss my earthly father. And I love God. I just love him. I love this staying home time because it takes you to a quiet place and I can worship the Lord and I can spend time with him and I can call him my daddy. Isaiah 11:2 and Ephesians 1:17, he is the Holy Spirit of wisdom. If you need wisdom, You can go to the scripture. I know Proverbs imparts a lot of wisdom. If you don't understand something and you need wisdom for that, go to Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, you can read a chapter a day, and in 1 month you can have the whole book of Proverbs read. And it's awesome because it teaches you a lot. You learn, you get a lot of wisdom. Solomon didn't ask the Lord for money. He didn't ask the Lord for possessions. He asked the Lord for wisdom to how to lead the people. When we don't know what to do and need wisdom, God will give us that wisdom as to how to do something. And God gave him the wisdom to lead the people. He got wealthy after that. God gave him a lot. So John 14:17, he is the Holy Spirit of truth. He will never lie to you. He will always tell you the truth. You will not get backlash from God. He will always tell you the truth. Sometimes it's painful to hear the truth, but let's walk in the truth. When we walk in the truth, we have freedom. So, stay in faith and not be in a hurry. We live in a microwave generation where we want everything done quickly, right now. Right now, if you go to the store, people are pushing their carts all over the place and driving down the road, people are just flying. Where to? You just don't know. They're just in a hurry to get somewhere. So wait on the Lord. Stay in faith. Wait on the Lord. Confess His word. Confess His word. It's important to read the scripture and confess His word. Confess His word on a daily basis. Every time you speak, speak the word of God. To yourself, if you're by yourself, speak it to yourself. I am a believer. I'm an encourager. I love my family. I love my friends. I love my church. I love the apostles. I love the leadership of this house. God is good to me. He's my friend. He's my father. In Isaiah 8, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. When we spend time with the Lord, when we read a scripture, when we worship Him, when we share His word to those that we can share His word with, those that God brings into our lives, share His word. He will be our rear guard. Can you imagine somebody following you? I know when I'm driving down the road or when I go to the grocery store to pay, I don't like people to stand right at my hip when I'm trying to pay. So this is how God is. I would love to have an illustration, but I can't. We're supposed to be standing 6 feet apart. So I'm using my arm, my hand, and God is right here. He's right behind us. But at times I picture Him right behind me, right in front of me, right beside me. He's awesome. We serve an awesome God. The glory of the Lord, it's like an umbrella covering us and following us everywhere we go. Malachi 2 says, but to you who fear the name, my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed cows, calves. He used that illustration that you will have healing in your wings. I was watching this morning, there was some baby birds in my flowers, in my flower pot. There's a baby bird. Their mamas are flying around trying to gather worms for them. But that baby just sat there and just sat there and watched to see when the mama would come. And it was awesome because first they push him out of the nest so that they can fly. And then they're walking around. And I believe this is how God sees us when we first become believers and are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're walking around wondering, okay, how do we do this? How do we minister? We're all called to minister. We're all called to minister. Minister wherever you're at, in your job, in your at the grocery store, at home, to your family, minister. When you're driving bus. Psalms 103 says, who forgives? God forgives all our iniquities. Who heals all our diseases. He didn't just come to heal one disease. He heals them all. The scripture says that at the cross, he carried every sickness and every disease. Everything. So when you're not feeling good, when you're sick, then go to the scripture and look for all the healing scriptures. And just Pastor Leonard has given us pages and pages of scripture with healing scriptures on them. And you can go down and look for those, or look through your Bible and look for all the healing scriptures. God is our God of healing. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he carried all our infirmities. I know I struggled. I had cancer, and God healed me. I won't say I am in remission. I am healed of cancer. And when the doctor first told me that I had cancer, I remember starting to cry, because the first thing in your mind is, oh boy, here we go. And I still had two children in high school. And my prayer wasn't that God would heal me. My prayer was that God would allow me to see them graduate and go on with their lives. Well, in January, God blessed me with twin great-granddaughters. Yes. So God is allowing me to see, yes, another generation above another generation. And I praise him for that, because he heals. He doesn't only pacify. If you are feeling sick, or if you're going through something, like I said, go to the Word and find the scriptures, quote them. Say them out loud to yourself. And even though you may feel the pain, you may feel the discomfort, just keep on praying. Keep on thanking God for your healing. Keep on thanking God for your restoration, because it's there. Don't be so quick to quit. just keep pressing on and pressing on. And in Acts 9:34, I will finish with this. Acts 9:34, and Peter said to him, "Ananias, Jesus Christ heals you. Arise, make your bed." Then he arose immediately. So there we go.
Elder Sylvia, would you pray for people? Could they just lay hands on their bodies where they need healing? And I'm going to ask you if you will pray over them to be healed in Jesus' name.
Yes. So, Father God, for those that are hurting in some area or are sick or got some diagnosis from the doctor, place your hand wherever the pain is or wherever the doctor diagnosed you. And believe that there is healing in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, I ask you right now that you would touch every life, that you would reach your hand upon each person that is ill this morning, that is sick this morning, that is recovering from surgery this morning. Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask that you would extend your healing hand upon them and that they would be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord.
Just sing this little chorus with me this morning. I was in worship this week and it's just real simple. Jesus, I've come to worship you. Jesus, I've come to worship you. Jesus, I've come to worship you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you created us, you designed us to worship you. Father God, we've come before you today, and we worship you in spirit and in truth, oh Lord. I'm so thankful, Lord, that regardless of where I am, I can call upon the name of the Lord. Regardless of what's going on, we can worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that inside our bodies, inside the temples of the Holy Ghost, oh God, that worship flows out of us, oh Lord, everywhere that we go. Father, I pray that the River of Life family will smell like worship. Oh God, that sweet incense of prayer and worship, Lord. Wherever we go, oh God, we thank you, Lord, that the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ flows from us, Lord. We come to worship you, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, oh God. We thank you, Lord, every part of us, every part of our being, oh God, we worship you. And we magnify your name, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the ministry of the word today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you seal it within our hearts, oh Lord. God, that it continues to resonate in our spirit, oh Lord. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you designed me to worship you. Oh, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can find that place of peace in the midst of the storm. Oh, Lord, I pray for those today, Lord, that are in a troubled, have a troubled mind. Oh, God. We pray, Lord, that in the midst of it all, God, you bring them to that place of peace. Oh, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that we can cast every care on you. And there's someone here this morning that just needs to cast that care upon the Lord. That literally means just to throw it. And so if you need to throw it, just throw it this morning as a prophetic act. Lord, I'm not going to carry this around anymore. I'm not going to worry about it, Lord. I'm going to cast my care on you, Lord, because you care for me. You care for me. You care for me. Hallelujah, Lord. We are important to the Lord. Elder Sylvia said it this morning. We are all a gift to Him. We are the greatest gift to Him. Lord God, open our eyes to begin to see, oh Lord, that we are a gift. We are a gift in the earth, oh God. You, oh Lord, value us. You have put a value on us. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord. It's an eternal value, and it's not going to wear out. You know, it's not going to get rusty. It's not going to get old. It's not going to depreciate. The value that God puts on us is an eternal value. An eternal value. It's a high value. You're a treasure to the Lord. A treasure. And we have a treasure in our earthen vessels this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your word. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let the church say amen. Amen, amen.